I hope you are feeling well today on a very frigid Monday morning, December the 15th. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, December the 15th. And right now, statewide, we have some very frigid wind chills below zero. Before you brave the elements, I hope you will join us for a discussion about the use of alternative medicine in the United States. A new survey was released last week, finding that more than one-third of all adults and nearly 12% of children are using alternatives to traditional medicine. Everything from acupuncture to zinc supplements, and many herbal remedies and nutritional remedies in between. Which of these alternative or complementary medicines or practices really work according to the research? Is there anything to worry about when so many people, including children, are using alternatives? We will talk with two medical experts about the use and efficacy of alternative medicines this hour and welcome your questions and maybe your practices. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let me welcome our guests. Dr. John Foltz is a professor of cardiovascular research and nutritional science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Department of Medicine. He joins us in the studio. Good morning.
It's nice to be back to Vilas Hall.
Well, and thanks for braving the elements on such a cold morning to come and visit us here. We also have with us by phone Dr. Bruce Barrett, associate professor of family medicine at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine. Good morning, Dr. Barrett.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us again. So both of you have some involvement with alternative and complementary medicine or research. And John Foltz, you mentioned that you are researching right now what could be considered a complementary medicine product.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, we've been looking at the concept that came out 20 years ago that things like red wine and fruits and vegetables might protect against heart attacks. And so we studied red wine, grape juice, and a number of herbals that are thought to be heart healthy. And we've tested a variety of them and found that many of them really had no potential benefit at all.
So you do at least, and you have some funding for this research that you wanted to point out.
Yes, we are. There's no conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. A company called Melaleuca in Idaho Falls, Idaho, has a grape seed, grape skin product that they thought would be good given the benefits of red wine and grape juice, but without the alcohol or the sugar. So the president called me up 9 years ago and said, Dr. Foltz, we'd like you to study our product and tell us if it's any good, and if it isn't, we'll pull it off the market. Well, in the last 8 years, they've given us $800,000 to study their product, a lot of the different ways that you would a product for the FDA, even though these products are only controlled by the Federal Trade Commission.
And I know, Dr. Barrett, you've done research. Most recently, we were talking to you about your study with echinacea in terms of cold. So you also do research along these lines.
Yes, I've done a fair amount on echinacea and also a fair amount on the placebo effect, which integrates interestingly with complementary alternative medicine.
Well, speaking of echinacea and colds, I know, Dr. Foltz, you're coughing right
yeah.
now, so you've got a cold. Is echinacea worthwhile, Dr. Barrett?
That's still a good question. Our trial, published about 5-6 years ago, was the first that showed no benefit whatsoever. At that point, there had been a dozen trials suggesting benefit, and it's been back and forth. Now there's 20 trials out there. Slightly more than half suggest benefit, but the higher quality ones don't. So it's, I guess, still an open question. We have a big trial that we're about to unblind and publish, so call me back in a year, and I'll let you know what we found out.
All right. Well, according to this survey from the National Institutes of Health, the National Center of Alternative and Complementary Medicine, 38% of adults in the United States are using alternative or complementary medicine, which apparently there are some products or practices that are going down, some that are going up. But in general, Dr. Barrett, does this surprise you at all?
These are not new figures. David Eisenberg published in 1993 the first major review, and then a follow-up in 98 first one in New England Journal, second one in JAMA. And so really the numbers have been steady for the last decade of around 35-40% of people using alternative practices.
Yeah, and does this in any way, Dr. Foltz, concern you that more than a third are using alternative or complementary
medicines? Yes, it really does. And part of the reason is that 35-37% is what they find in their polls. But actually, a lot more people take these. For example, people will take St. John's wort for depression. And they read all the magazines now and on TV. They're all the symptoms of depression. And people read these and they say, but I'm depressed. But instead of going to a physician, having checked out, they read that St. John's wort is good. So they begin to take it. The problem, one of the major problems, is it doesn't work well at all, according to NIMH. And also, people will take it not knowing that it takes 2 to 4 weeks for most antidepressants to work. So they'll take it 1 or 2 weeks. It doesn't work. They get more depressed and they commit suicide.
Mm. Dr. Barrett, there are some alternatives out there like St. John's wort that really don't work, but people are using them anyway.
Well, I could offer a slightly different opinion. I strongly agree that people with depression should get hooked in with a mental health, either a primary care physician or a psychologist or psychiatrist. So I don't think people should be self-treating if their depression is very serious. However, the study that was most widely published that suggested that St. John's wort didn't work also suggested that sertraline or Zoloft didn't work. It was a placebo versus each of those separately. So the efficacy of conventional antidepressants is actually quite poor. You get maybe a 5% change on the most standard outcome measures. And the meta-analysis of the St. John's wort data done by conventional physicians and published in Annals of Internal Medicine suggests that there is benefit similar to that of antidepressants. So yes, it's worrisome that people are doing all kinds of things that don't have good evidence, but it's a mixed picture.
We are talking about a survey released from the National Institutes of Health, the Institute's National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, which found that the use of complementary and alternative medicine has stabilized in the U.S., with more than one-third of adults trying various alternative practices or products. Do you use alternative or complementary medicine in your home health care? What and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check the weather and then we'll welcome your calls for both of our guests, your questions and comments. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Monday, December the 15th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. After 5 on At Issue, Ben and his guests will explore the idea that although we as individuals may think differently, we can communicate effectively with a little more patience and understanding. That's coming up after 5 this afternoon during At Issue with Ben Marins. We are talking about a new survey that says over one-third of Americans use alternative or complementary medicine. We are talking with two guests about the use and efficacy of different alternative medicines or practices like acupuncture, herbal remedies, and other alternative treatments. We welcome your questions for both of our guests, and we also welcome your practices. Do you use alternative or complementary medicines or practices? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest, Professor John Foltz, who is a professor of cardiovascular research and nutritional science at the UW-Madison's Department of Medicine, and Dr. Bruce Barrett, an associate professor of family medicine at the UW School of Medicine. And we'll go to the phones and take our first caller, Judy in Oshkosh. Hi, Judy, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you very much for having these guests on today. I'm a registered nurse, and my husband is a family practitioner. And we see patients come in, and when I do an admission at the hospital, we see patients come in, and you have to do their history, and they list the meds that they're on, and then they'll give you this list of all these non-proven, non-scientific pills that they're taking, and you think they must be spending thousands of dollars a year on this stuff. People, the general public, doesn't understand science. They don't understand double-blind studies. They don't understand, you know, what a good study is and what a non-good study is. And they take this stuff as gospel. It seems to be also tied in with a lot of these mothers that don't immunize their children. And I would like to see some type of pamphlet put in doctor's offices, so, you know, when you have those little things that you can read while you're sitting there waiting for your physician to come in, just give a brief explanation as to why these things, what science shows and what science doesn't show, and why it's the best thing to do is to study something scientifically, and you know, why we use the scientific method. And that's just my comment, and I'll take my comments off the air.
Well, thank you very much, Judy, for calling. You were nodding your head, Professor Foltz, when Judy said this is a big waste of money, these patients that take all these various supplements.
Yes, it's a real problem. If some of the patients that came in for our human studies on flavonoids and herbals wouldn't tell you they were taking St. John's wort because it's for depression, and there's still a stigma associated with mental disease, although there shouldn't be. Also, people get in the mail all sorts of things. I have something I got here from the Douglas Report, and the headline says, "It's discover why one MD says I haven't had a glass of water in 20 years. And he goes on to tout other things you should take with your water or not drink water. Now, we all know that's not true, but the lay public is inundated with all these things on television, radio, magazines. And also, many people are impatient to treat themselves, save some money, not have to go to the doctor, not have to go to the psychiatrist. And so they try all these things, and the placebo effect makes them think they're working.
Yeah. Do you agree, Dr. Barrett?
Yes, mostly. I think people are usually wasting their money when they're on 15, 20 different pills, and it certainly makes it confusing and difficult for us conventional physicians when working with them. However, people who are doing that also tend to be healthier than people who aren't, which probably just reflects that they also have interest in diet and exercise and other healthy habits. So it's a complex and mixed picture. But when a person comes in and sees me with 12, 15 different alternative treatments, it takes time, and some of them might be harming.
Well, you do, Dr. Barrett. Would it be fair to say that you favor some alternative and complementary medicines in practice with traditional medicine?
Not
really
so much. It depends what you mean. I certainly believe in diet and exercise, high quality organic food. I'd like to hear Dr. Foltz's opinion on fish oil. You know, this most recent survey, I think, classified it as an unconventional alternative medicine, but most of my colleagues seem to be using it. So things move back and forth across the line, and the definitions are not always clear.
Yeah, my husband is on it was prescribed fish oil by his cardiologist, Professor Foltz. That's a standard practice now, isn't it?
Well, my clinical colleagues, some of them prescribe it and recommend it, and some are kind of waiting because it's one of those things that was very popular maybe 5 years ago, isn't now, and vice versa. So eating fish is certainly helpful.
The verdict or jury is still out on fish oil?
Well, the problem is if you take an oil out of, say, the fish, or you take an extract out of a food product, let's go back to the grape. Grapes have seeds and they have skins. And if you take seed extract, you get some benefit. If you take skin extract, you get some benefit. If you take the two together, you get more benefit. So the people who say you should eat the whole fruit, they have a pretty good point, because there's other things, fiber and whatnot in fruits, and the sterols that are in the fish have other things with them.
What about vitamin D? That's another prescription, so to speak, for many heart patients. Is vitamin D and higher levels of vitamin D helpful?
Well, I think, once again, my clinical colleagues would have to comment on that. But some people are deficient in vitamin D. Some people don't get enough exposure to the sun, and they are giving vitamin D to some.
Mm-hmm. Any comment on vitamin D and having more of it, Dr. Barrett?
We will know a lot more in 3 to 5 years. It's a big deal. Lots of people are interested. Everybody's talking about it. There's a number of good studies in process. The preliminary studies made it look good, but they were just that, preliminary studies.
Well, let's take another call. Betty in Blue River. Hi, Betty. You're on the air.
I'm 82 years old, and for over 60 years and raising 12 children, I have used homeopathic remedies. I was privileged before I was married to work for some osteopath doctors who use the homeopathic remedies. And I have been very successful. My family uses them. They're very reasonable. There is a homeopathic Materials Medica book. You can use it for any kind of remedy you need. I did have to have open heart surgery back in 01. The doctor was a medical doctor, but he did put me on a homeopathic heart medicine.
Yeah. So, what is a homeopathic heart medicine?
And I've been taking that. I take that all the time.
Yeah.
And I take the, as he prescribes, 2 a day of them.
All right. Betty, thank you. We're almost at our news break, so I want to get Professor Fultz. What is a homeopathic heart medicine?
Well, there's a variety of substances that they give in small quantities and are supposedly having a favorable effect in the body. The problem is this fine young lady probably is a special case. There, if you look at 1,000 people, give them homeopathic medicine, and 1,000 they get the placebo, then you can really do some statistics. I had an uncle who lived to be 97. He drank all his life. He smoked all his life. He was overweight all his life. He just happened to have lucky genes.
And so you're saying that Betty was helped by this because she thought it would help her?
That's right.
Yeah, and homeopathic heart medicine is what exactly? Is just some natural herbs and spices, or what is it?
Right, there's a variety of them that they give, and supposed to have benefit, but unfortunately, they're not clinically tested. And the companies will advertise them and say that this will help your heart, but there's no evidence.
Yeah, Dr. Barrett. I'm looking at an article that says from a skeptic, somebody who is the editor of Scientific Review of Alternative Medicine, saying that homeopathy is one step above fraud. What do you say?
Well, the French government pays for homeopathy, and actually the British National Medical Service also has a homeopathy division. It's a distinct school of thought which pays lots of attention to the individual. The practitioner spends 1 to 2 or even 3 hours with them the first time around. So while it may indeed be primarily based on the mind-body or belief system, I think a lot of people need that, and what people believe matters. So I think homeopathy is safe. Evidence of effectiveness, no, I agree with Dr. Fultz, not much in the way of evidence of effectiveness.
We will talk with both of our guests more about this survey on the use of alternative medicine in this country after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Monday morning, December the 15th. We are talking with two experts on the use and efficacy of alternative or complementary medicine this hour, and we welcome your questions for them. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. According to a new survey from the National Institutes of Health, 38% of adults in the United States use alternative medicine, and nearly 12% of all children. The most commonly used are dietary supplements and herbal products such as echinacea, flaxseed oil, and ginseng, followed by deep breathing exercises, meditation, chiropractic therapy, massage, and yoga. According to the survey, fewer Americans were using certain diets and trying herbal remedies such as echinacea to cure colds, but the popularity of acupuncture, meditation, yoga, and massage grew. According to one expert, the news is complementary and alternative medicine use by the U.S. public is here to stay. We are talking about this survey and talking about the use of alternative and complementary medicine with Professor John Foltz, a professor of cardiovascular research and nutritional science at the UW-Madison Department of Medicine, and also with us Dr. Bruce Barrett, associate professor of family medicine at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine. And I wanted to start off this segment of the program, gentlemen, with a little bit of talk about colds, if I might, because I know so many people who are suffering from colds right now, and Professor Foltz, you have a cold right now, and there are so many differing advice as to what to do about the cold. First of all, Dr. Barrett, can you tell me if this cold that a lot of my friends and family are suffering from that lasts about a month, is there some sort of, super virus out there right now?
Well, the influenza season is starting soon, so if you haven't had your flu shot, go and get one. Our state lab of hygiene goes around and checks viruses. There are no super viruses that we know of other than the usual introduction of influenza around this time and smatterings of rhinovirus and several other types.
And is there, Dr. Barrett, anything in terms of alternative or complementary treatment that people suffering from colds right now might want to try that's not going to hurt and not going to cost a lot of money and might just help?
I think this is a case where we can say, yes, it is fine to use many of the alternative medicines, and that's mostly because we don't have any conventional medicines that are effective. We've proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that antibiotics don't work. It's a viral illness. We've proven that antihistamines and decongestants do not work for children, so do not give them to your kids. The cold formulas do not work and can cause side effects for children. For adults, you can get slight benefits from the conventional medicines, but they're outweighed by costs and side effects. So if you believe in something that is safe, such as a lemon tea or peppermint tea or vitamin C or echinacea or zinc, it seems reasonable to go ahead and use it. Your belief system will activate your healing system, and you'll get better. Chicken soup is another alternative.
And Professor Foltz, you're looking right now at a package of Airborne, which I have had some friends recommend, you've got to take this Airborne before getting on an airplane. I've done this, and I've never got a cold after getting on the airplane.
Well, I think you were fortunate. I'm looking at the ingredients. It has all the ingredients that you'd find in a multivitamin. It's interesting. Vitamin C has been extensively studied for heart disease, cancer, variety of things, and has not been shown to be helpful. The dose they put in here is 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C per dose that you take. Well, anything over 200 or so milligrams of vitamin C, you just make yellow urine. It just excreted right away. It doesn't stay. Zinc is listed on here, but as Dr. Barrett said and others say, there's a question about whether zinc has any help. There's here's some echinacea and the forsythia, which has been not proven to be effective for colds. And it's expensive, and it's advertised and sold even in Menards. But I would point out one thing about all of these. It says in the bottom, in the real fine print, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But oftentimes, the fine print is so small, people read all the ad up above.
Yeah, so that Airborne won't necessarily help you or hurt you, but it's just a waste of money, is your diagnosis there?
Well, I don't know that they do toxicology on these things, and that's important. These rapeseed and skin extract we're studying, which is an herbal, you can buy it in Madison. But we study toxicology, we give high doses, we look at animals to see if there's damage to their other organs. We compare it against aspirin and other things to see if there's additive effects, and there often are. Some of these nutraceuticals affect the liver enzymes, and if you take a medication, the liver enzymes altered by the herbals can give you too much or too little of what the doctor intended you to have in your blood.
Yeah. Any comment, Dr. Barrett, on Airborne and products like it?
Well, I would agree with his last point, especially people who are on chronic medications for chronic disease. really need to check with their doctor and pharmacist before starting herbals, because they do change the metabolism of the medicines they're on, and that can be dangerous. For those who aren't on any medicines and who are generally healthy, most of the things out there are not going to harm, and if they believe in it, it's likely to help. But it's true that we really don't know. So rest, fluids, high-quality diet, good psychological and social health, that's really the key to being healthy and avoiding colds and getting over them quicker.
I want to go back to the phones and take our next caller, Bob in Baldwin. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Joy. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Yes, go ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, okay. My comment is my family has used acupuncture and chiropractic to treat many issues of health that we've tried Western medicines and, you know, not a lot of success, but we've found success with the Eastern acupuncture and such. And I can give you an example if you'd like.
Go ahead, please, briefly.
Okay. My wife, for one, was treated for sciatica using, you know, the Western approach with high levels of ibuprofen and some of the massage therapy, et cetera. And after about a month, she still could not even walk and had nightly pains. We took her to an acupuncturist, and after the first session, she at least was able to walk. No huge magic here. But after about four sessions, the symptoms were completely gone. We've also used it to treat menopausal issues, migraine, general headache, stress headache especially, even allergies for one daughter who had been on Claritin on a year-round basis and is now totally clear.
Bob, I'm very glad you called. We have a weather break coming up, and I want to get both of our guests in on this, especially when it comes to acupuncture. And as someone who has a little bit of sciatica flaring up right now, I'm interested in your response first, Professor Fultz.
Well, with acupuncture, there's been many examples of where it appears to really do some good, and much in the literature. The problem is placebo effect. If you go to someone and they say, I will make you feel better, oftentimes you will feel better, up to 30-35% of the people. Now, Dr. Barrett can tell us about a recent development where they have a sham acupuncture where you can either stick the needle in and twirl it, or you have a needle that touches the skin and doesn't have any effect. And I'd be interested in his thoughts on this sham acupuncture.
Yeah, okay, Dr. Barrett?
It's true. If you do before-after studies, acupuncture works. When you compare it to sham acupuncture, doesn't seem to be much additional benefit, although there are some studies that suggest there's some additional benefit. So the question is, how is it working? If it is, and I'm one who embraces the placebo effect instead of deriding it. I think the placebo effect is what many of us use to get ourselves better. I also embrace truth. So that gets a little bit tricky when you're seeking truth as a scientist and also being an advocate of the placebo effect. But acupuncture, it's unlikely to harm.
Yeah, what about, Dr. Barrett, chiropractic care when it comes to something like sciatica? Is that proven to be helpful?
It's proven to be equally helpful to conventional treatments for lower back pain and sciatica. For neck manipulation, there's someplace around a 1 in 30,000 chance of an artery dissection, so there's some, you know, very low risk of a very bad event.
Is it a placebo effect, or is the manipulation actually doing the correction?
That is a hard one to study. Mm-hmm. Coming up with a sham manipulation, there lots of groups are working on it right now, but I don't think that we have good evidence one way or the other on that important question.
Yeah, I could live without an artery dissection.
That's a neck, and it's very rare.
Yeah. did you have a comment on chiropractic care, Mr. Fultz?
Let's see. The problem with placebo, I guess, is that everybody wants it to help them. I have a book, 4,000 Years of Pharmacy, written in 1932. And physicians, nurses, midwives, patent sales people, pull up the wagon, sell you a bottle of this, cure everything, has been used for thousands and thousands of years. Physicians today, even with some patients who have symptoms that don't seem to respond to anything, will say, well, I've got something new. and oftentimes they benefit. One quick question about chiropractic. Oftentimes people, let's say sometimes, people go to a chiropractor for back pain. Well, we autopsied a gentleman about 10 years ago who was going to a chiropractor for back pain, and it turns out he had cancer in one of his kidneys. Had that been detected by a proper medical exam, the kidney could have been removed and he would have basically been cured. As it was, he died because he was delaying proper Western medicine using the Eastern.
Let's check our weather forecast, and then we will be back and take more calls. Our lines are full for the moment for our two guests. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7, it's our State Capitol Report. We will welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter Sean Johnson to look at the efforts to get federal help for Wisconsin's fiscal problems. And we also want to know, what is your solution to the state's budget deficit? Cutting lots? Taxing more? Both? We will let you be the budget fixer coming up in our state capital report coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about alternative and complementary medicine. Following the release of a new survey from the National Institutes of Health last week, finding 38% of all adults in the United States use alternative or complementary medicine. Do you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have two guest experts, Dr. Bruce Barrett, Associate Professor of Family Medicine at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine, and Professor John Foltz, a professor of cardiovascular research and nutritional science at UW-Madison's Department of Medicine. To the phones we go. Doug in Lafayette County is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the legitimacy of some of these things called like EverCleanse or Colon Cleanse, Herbal Cleanser deals. Is that just a sham, or is there any value to what they advertise?
Starting with Dr. Barrett.
Many cultures around the world use a colon purge, basically, you know, creating diarrhea to clean out your colon regularly as a health-giving practice. I don't know of any evidence. I don't endorse. I don't have any strong reason to think we're going to harm people with that. But
yeah, what about you, Professor Foltz? Any comment on all the various cleansers?
Yes, you see that all the time, and people will go down with cancer. People with cancer, if it's not their treatment's not working very well, and I might also, if I'm really worried about dying, will go down to Mexico and have coffee enemas, and people are still going down there. Take Mileotrol or the coffee enemas, and some of them will seem to get better. Some cancers regress a bit. Other people kind of deny how long they've had their cancer. And so once again, the person's attitude makes a difference, but there's no evidence whatsoever that this kind of colonic cleansing with a coffee enema does any good.
All right, let's go now to Tom in Madison. Hi, Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to talk about vitamins, if I could, please, because I know there's been a number of studies where they had these testing these vitamins to prevent prostate cancer and other things, and they always turn out that they don't do what they either claim or they think they'll do. And but I know people who get these vitamins and they swear by them. And is there any source where we can read more about these and get some good evidence
Doctor,
about vitamins or homeopathy or anything like that?
Well, and I'm going to specifically say vitamins and prostate cancer, Dr. Barrett.
There's a huge and longstanding literature, tens of thousands of published articles. I'd probably go to the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine website, or you can just search under NCCAM. They're the arm of the National Institutes of Health at high-level scientific medicine, and they've got lots of nice pathways set up for patients as well as for scientists.
Any comment? No, not on that one. All right, I have an email from Kevin in Milwaukee, and Professor Foltz, maybe you can comment on this one. He had a couple of questions. First, what do you think of coenzyme Q10 for the heart?
Well, coenzyme Q10 is in the body, and most of us have enough. I don't believe there's any evidence that adding excess provides any real protection.
Mm-hmm. And also the effects of I don't know how to pronounce this, lysine, L-Y-S-I-N-E,
lysine.
Lysine on the immune system.
Yes, the immune system is a tough one to study because you need things to measure. Now, in people, if you'd spend the money, you could measure activation of white blood cells. You could measure the activation of enzymes like phospholipase A2, CD40 ligand, other things that are increased in the immune system. But that's very expensive, and they don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And we have to be careful. You want to decrease inflammation in some of the immune system to protect against development of atherosclerosis. But if you have cancer, you want to increase it so you can fight the cancer cells. So there you have to balance between whether you're trying to fight heart disease or a cancer. And probably the best idea is, as Dr. Barrett mentioned, a good, healthy lifestyle, proper eating, exercise, and that's probably your best bet.
Mm-hmm. Any comment, Dr. Barrett, on the coenzyme Q10 or lysine?
No, I think Professor Fultz gave a good answer there.
Well, you know, I do try to practice a healthy lifestyle in many ways. I'm not perfect, I'll be the first to admit, but exercise and eating right and that sort of thing. One thing that I have been doing throughout the years is yoga. And part of it is because I like the physical aspects of it, but I also think it's a good stress reliever. Am I fooling myself, Professor Fultz? Is yoga good for me in terms of the stress relief?
Well, two things that people can do for themselves at home that require no herbals or no risk, really, are yoga and meditation. Herbert Benson showed some 20 years ago with people, he would measure things, and that's important. He'd measure their blood pressure. He'd measure certain anxiety substances found in the blood. And then he trained them to do meditation. And it did reduce blood pressure. It did reduce anxiety. Stress produces a lot of different problems in the body that will exacerbate some diseases. The yoga is also very good because it reduces stress, improves balance, and gives a sense of well-being.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Barrett, do you agree or anything to add?
I do agree. I think that yoga and meditation, the mindfulness form is available here in Madison. And I think you need to have an aerobic exercise where the body is sweating and breathing hard and the heart rate is up 5 times a week, 45 minutes at a time. But you also need to have relaxation, and conscious relaxation can reduce stress, good studies, and can give health benefits.
Our next caller is Patricia in Milwaukee. Hi, Patricia. You're on the air.
Hello. I've been finding this program very interesting. One of the things that I like to point out is why I and whatever percentage it is of people who are using alternative medicine do so. And for me, I read a lot, and I read a lot from like New York Times and such about the studies that are done, the scientific studies which have been commented on this morning. There's no evidence, or there's no research, or there's no studies. Those are all paid for by the drug companies, and then we were just read last week that the conclusions that they are made and that are put in medical journals are not written by the scientists who did the research, but are written by ghostwriters who just write what the drug companies wanted the outcome to be. And some time ago someone mentioned it was not FDA approved, that statement is on some of the supplements. Well, the FDA approved Prozac for children. The FDA approved a lot of things that have been shown to be not safe. So I just consider that it's my job to take care of my own health. And if I had something serious, I would go to my doctor, who also embraces alternative treatments.
All right, let me get Dr. Barrett first.
I I agree, actually, with some of the underlying points there. There is far too much influence from the pharmaceutical industry on medical practice and on the medical literature. And there is a practice where ghostwriting is done and people who are working for drug companies write the articles and then doctors at universities get credit for that or put their names on it. But it's not the majority of the articles by any means. I think it's a very, very small percentage. But it is there. It is problematic. I think that overall the system is biased towards conventional medicine because this is a conventional medicine-dominated society.
Yeah, well,
on the other hand, we also have the best evidence and the best treatments, I think, at this point. And what is alternative now might become conventional in the future, and what we think is good now conventionally may very well be proven to be harmful or ineffective in the future.
Thank you, Dr. Barrett. And 5-10 seconds, Professor Fultz, because
yeah,
we're out
part of
time.
Part of the problem is that so many physicians in Madison elsewhere know nothing about herbal medicine. They can't spell flavonoids or polyphenolics, and so because they're not knowledgeable, they think it's bad. They have so much else to learn and read about, but it's out there.
We all do. Thank you so much for being with us, both of you. Dr. Bruce Barrett is an associate professor of family medicine at UW-Madison School of Medicine, and John Fultz, a professor of cardiovascular research and nutritional science at UW-Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.